You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking. Is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
Hey, this is Greg Buttle, and you're listening to The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN. That's right. It used to be The Buttle Show, but now it's The K. Show.
Thank you, Greg, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed The Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Friday, the 13th, May 13th, 2022. Michael K. and Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 3.5 hours.
Sure we are.
The other 20 and a half, that is certainly your responsibility. It's day two of Don's COVID 2, the sequel.
Fix that!
It's rare you get a two-part sequel.
Yeah, very rare. Very rare. But I think in this case, it certainly applies. So Don is, for those that are worrying, however few there are, he's feeling better, but we convinced him that this was not the time to push it. Peter actually likes the two-man booth and has requested it going forward, so
not
we'll
true.
See how that works.
If we get pushes, we get pushes.
That is not what he just said was not true.
I was making an argument,
but I did want Don to rest more.
Talk to me that way.
Well, no, Don. I want you to rely. I want you to get healthy.
Get me help.
That's what I'm trying to give you.
And remember that screed that we had on the air? He was given an IV of monoclonal antibodies, and I've told him that some of the best doctors in the world have told me that they don't work, that you have to get Paxlovid, and he's arguing with me.
It's a joke!
Because his urgent care doctor is a quack and gave him an IV of things that you could just as well put orange juice in his veins. And then he texted me last night. He said, by the way, I got Paxlovid. There you go. So that's kind of influence. I saved my friend's life.
So he was able to get what you recommended?
Yes, it's the only thing to take if you have it. And
what about
if you
bleach?
Have some? What was that?
Bleach.
No, I don't think that works.
Okay. Did you do ecstasy?
So I think he's on his road to recovery. The only thing with Paxlovid is it does give you a little gas from the back, and your mouth tastes all metally.
Whoa.
And I don't mean a bunch of songs put together. I mean
not good.
Yeah, metal-y. I'm so sorry that Andrew's sister is getting married today because, boy, would I like to make fun of him and the Sixers.
God hates me.
You know what?
You know what we should do, Peter?
What?
You know, the wedding is, in fact, tonight. We should try to call him, like, at 4 o'clock. Just cold call him.
I think they tried that on the morning show and had no luck.
Well, he has no allegiance to the morning show. This is
That's
his
right.
show. He's
so
the producer of this show.
He'll recognize the number. He'll see the hotline pop up on his phone, and we'll see. We'll call him live on the air and see if he's there to have a conversation. Because, Michael, you hope that he didn't leave five. I hope he didn't miss 5 minutes of the rehearsal dinner to watch that effort from the Sixers last night.
An effort? Isn't that a stretch of the definition of the word effort?
You know what? I'm sorry. No. And you know what I feel bad for is Maxey. If they had, you know, five Tyrese Maxeys, they would have had an effort last night. But unfortunately, they had one James Harden. And let me include Embiid in that category of a guy who was just falling over himself, literally trying to make it work for this team. And James Harden takes two shots, Michael, in the second half.
Two more shots, by the way, than Ben Simmons. And Ben Simmons got mocked out of Philadelphia. I'm no Ben Simmons defender here, but he got mocked out of Philadelphia because he wouldn't shoot in big moments. And Harden said, the ball never came around to me. Okay, James. But he is Jim Harden again. He's not James. You don't get that title of James if you play like that. And take a look at his history of elimination games. not good. Or as Don would say, none good. But we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Rangers, a win or go home game 6 tonight in Pittsburgh. We're going to be all over it.
Oh, yeah.
6:30 is the pregame, Peter. I don't know if you realize it, so we're off a half hour early.
I have a scorching hot take in regards to that game, by the way.
When the game starts at 7, why scorch away. What do you got?
We now know Tristan Jarry is out. He skated today, but he is not playing. And Sid Crosby does, in fact, have a concussion. He is out.
But he was skating today, but he's out today.
He skated this morning. He is out. So, I would just like to say that in spite of the fact that they are down 3-2.
Wow. What is going on?
If I am a Ranger fan.
Tell me.
I am expecting a series win. I don't care if they're down 3-2 going to Pittsburgh. Down their starting goalie and their best player. There's no reason why the Rangers can't put together a couple of wins.
None reason.
Do you agree?
I would say it's set up for them. I mean, you know, there's not a bunch of hacks on the floor or on the ice for Pittsburgh. So,
No.
I mean,
don't get me wrong.
The capability.
They still got Gensel, Letang, Malkin. They got players, but you're the Rangers. You were a good team all year.
I see no reason why they can't
win tonight.
Now, I listen to all the commercials on the show and the reads, and I know that you have access to your very own gambling app. Why don't you put some money on this? I mean, you bet the Sixers the other day, so.
Well, hold on 1 second, please. I am rooting for
me.
The Penguins and me. So, no, I'm good. I'm not gonna root against Pittsburgh, but I'm just saying if I'm a Rangers fan, I bet there are plenty of Rangers fans out there. Maybe we'll hear from them who feel very confident. And think they can win these games. Why not?
Did you hear who we have on at 5 o'clock today?
Andrew Gunlin?
No. We had the King on.
Michael King?
No.
Larry?
No. Larry's no longer with us.
Hold on. The King. Hank?
Hank Lundquist, baby.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we don't have Donnie Pucks today, so the least we can do is give you a little Hank.
Right. We have Hank Pads.
Is that his name?
Well, that's what I just made up because he wore pads as a goalie.
I wish you loved the sport like I do.
We don't. How much is, I hate to say this because I don't want to cause Don any more pain. He is going to be anguished listening to this game and knowing that he should be calling it, but because of the inconsideration of others, he got COVID for a second time. It will really, he better take another round of Paxlovid.
Paxlovid sounds like the name of like a fighter, like a middleweight fighter.
Billy Paxlovid.
No.
Like knocks out COVID.
Vasily Paxlovid.
Okay.
You know? Great middleweight.
Now, before we get to the Yankees, we'll start with the Yankees. I need to know, Peter, and you're the only one who could tell me. You're the only one I trust.
Go ahead.
Kendrick Lamar dropped the new album. How is it?
Lama! I think it's a brilliant masterpiece.
Wow.
Yes. Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. Kendrick Lamar has now entered the rarefied air of dropping, depending on if you want to consider one of his albums like an album or sort of like a compilation of B-sides, whatever. I'm calling it 5 straight masterpieces. The guy is just, it's a dense listen. It's a very dense listen. You're going to sit there and kind of work a little bit. It's not you know, sit back at a barbecue and throw it on music. It's more like, you know, you're seeing a show. Like you're sitting through a show. You're going to listen to a show, a performance. But, man, it is a brilliant piece of work.
Good to hear. Must be happy.
I'll make sure next time I talk to him, I'll make sure that you say congrats.
And I call him Ken. I don't even go with Kendrick.
It's interesting. You are the only person I know who refers to him as Ken Lamar.
Yeah. Sometimes when, like, we're just hanging,
yeah,
like in my backyard, it's Kenny.
Well,
Kenny,
yeah,
can you grab me a Hawaiian punch over there? Something like that.
Well, so Kenny, he does get called sometimes because he has the nickname Kung Fu Kenny. So that makes sense. But I've never heard anyone just outright call him Ken.
Right.
Hey,
well,
Ken.
We're close.
Yeah. Or Drick.
No, I would never call him Drick. You get
That's
hit, you call someone Drick.
No, you can't do that.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, it's time for Diamond Notes, Peter. It's brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. How about the Yankees yesterday? They tried to give this one away. They let the White Sox tie it in the seventh inning with a three-run home run by Moncada. Made it 7-7, but they just shook it off. And they scored 7 runs in the eighth inning, 1 run in the ninth inning, and they won the game 15-7. And the one thing that was different about this game than all the other previous 30 games they played, it was scorchingly hot. And the ball jumps in hot weather. So you can if you want to dream big, everybody, dream about this Yankee lineup in hot weather when it's consistently hot, when the calendar turns to June and July and August. And if that's a preview of what we could get, I'll tell you, that was pretty impressive. 2 home runs by Stanton, 2 oppo shots, and then a 2-run single in that 7-run eighth inning. So he had 6 RBIs. Judge had 4 RBIs, and he hit one of the longest home runs you'll see, 456 feet to left field. And even Donaldson, who has not been exhibiting the power that many thought that he would, hit a long 3-run home run in that 7-run eighth inning. And you know, this team, and I don't mean this literally, it hits different.
Oh, wait, you don't mean it literally, or
no.
You do?
No, but I guess you can assume that you think with the bats they hit different, but this team hits different.
Oh, they do.
I mean, they're fun to watch. There are things that I am concerned about. One of them is Jonathan Loaisiga, who was, if not the best reliever in baseball last year, he was in the discussion. He's already given up 3 home runs, which matches the total from all of last year. They got to find out what's up with him because he's an important cog in that bullpen. I don't even know what to say other than the fact that they're really good. They're really, really good. Again, they didn't get a long outing from their starter, but they got enough. Luis Gil gave them 4 innings, didn't have great command. That's always his problem. But 4 innings, and then they turned it over to the bullpen, and Chad Green with 2 innings at the end. And the Yankees have the best record in baseball at 23-8. And every single litmus test that people want to throw up against them, they haven't beaten anybody good. Let's see what they do against the White Sox, 15-7. We'll see what they do tonight with Gerrit Cole on the mound. We'll see. Against Vince Velasquez. We shall see. But I don't think, if this team suddenly comes down to earth, it's going to be because they're playing teams that are better than they are. I don't know if there's a team better than they are. There might be teams as good. If they go into a slump, they'll go into a slump because that's the normal ebbs and flow of a season. But you can't say they're 23-8 because they haven't played anybody. Well, they've played the Blue Jays 9 times. Blue Jays was I picked the Blue Jays to win the East. They've handled them. Now the first game against the White Sox, you know, one of the better teams in the Central, I mean, they embarrassed them. And by the way, I hate to say this because I'm a fan, Peter.
Okay.
That was an embarrassment the way Tony La Russa managed that eighth inning. Wow.
What did he do? By the way, I checked out in the seventh and went to sleep. That game was endless. It felt like
it was so. It was a 4-hour game.
Dude, I was.
He gone.
I don't know how you do. I don't care if this gets me ridiculed. I don't know how regular season baseball fans do it every day. I really don't, Michael. I came in for at the beginning, the very beginning, saw the start of the game. I checked back in like the third for an inning. I came back in the sixth, heard you tell the tremendous story about Comiskey Park. And then I went and I had to go to bed. And it went
Why
on
do
for,
you have this guy Rosenberg on the show?
It went on for like another 8 runs and 2 hours.
No, that was a tough one yesterday because of the length.
A slog, if you will.
It was a bit of a slog, but if you're a Yankee fan,
it was a good slog.
It was a good slog because you won, but they're really good. They're really good. Even Joey Gallo, who everybody wants to jump on because he got off to a terrible start, I think over his last 14 games, he's hitting 267. I mean, if Joey Gallo hits over 230, that's a home run. So there's one thing I wanted to accentuate about the game. I've been doing this a long time, 36 years. And there have been players that have been ridiculed by fans, and they kind of bow their neck and they go through it, and most of them fail. They leave. They go somewhere else. Sonny Gray goes somewhere else and has success there. As my partner Cameron Maben says, the pinstripes are heavy for some people. Some people can't handle it. The perfect candidate to have been run out of town is Giancarlo Stanton. The perfect one. Ridiculed the first game he played.
Oh, yeah.
And has been ridiculed for years about his propensity to be injured and this and that. Couldn't play the outfield. You know, we signed him. That means that we didn't sign. We traded for him. That means we didn't get Bryce Harper. All of that's true. But I will tell you this, everybody. You look at that deal right now, and you could say it's a masterstroke by Cashman, because the Yankees' responsibility to pay Giancarlo Stanton amounts to about $24 million a year, with the Marlins picking up a lot of his salary. You cannot, on the open market right now, get Giancarlo Stanton on a $24 million a year deal. You can't. This guy has shown me such intestinal fortitude to come out the other side, where I believe that he's going to be one of the most beloved Yankees by the time his contract's up. Plays hard, is an unbelievable hitter. He does have frustrating ebbs and flows to a season, but when he's hot, like he is now, and like he was at the beginning of the year, you can't get him out. Now, there are times between those two hot streaks where he looks lost. That's the price you pay for what he's bringing to the party. And he's not one of these all-or-nothing hitters who hits 210. He's not a 210 hitter.
No.
He's going to hit in the high 200s. Yeah. And he's going to hit you 35 to 40 home runs. He's going to drive in 100 runs. And nothing. Peter, I'm telling you, you're not here every day in the ballpark.
No, I'm not.
Nothing flusters this guy. Nothing. Nothing. When everybody out there listening to this show was trying to boo him out of New York, he didn't even care. He had a job to do. Now everybody's lauding him, bows his head, and goes to work. He's not that guy. He's not influenced by outside forces. He has a conviction in what he does, and he does it really, really well. And there are very few people that have been as ridiculed as he has been as a Yankee and didn't get affected one bit. Peter, you can make the argument he's gotten better. He is so hardened. He's so hardened to all of this, nothing bothers him. I don't know how he does it, but I think he looks in the mirror and goes, I'm Giancarlo Stanton, and then he winks and walks away because he could play. He's a player. And I know the Yankee fans' initial reaction, Peter, was to hate him and to try to boo him out of town. Breaking news, it didn't work. He's too tough for it. And he's a really good player.
He's a really good player. He literally, when he was getting maligned by fans, never showed any hint of caring. You know, we now hear all the time about players, particularly after players get traded for a big contract to a new city, and they respond in a way, if they don't get immediately loved, they complain these days. Stanton, just every day, shows up to work. And now you look at what he's been for this team, whether you're talking about being the spark of their offense in the playoffs last year, what he's done so far this season, and then on top of all of that, and his exceeding, I think, a lot of Yankees fans' early expectations, Michael, if you look now relatively at what's going on in baseball, his contract's not even that bad.
It's amazing.
So all the things that you were mad about, terrible contract, and he's not the player we thought he was. Not that terrible a contract, and he is the player you thought he was.
I'd even go this far, Peter. It's a good contract now. to get him at $24 million a year, which is the cost of the Yankees, you couldn't get him on the market right now for that. And remember everything, Yankee fans, this wasn't plan A for the Yankees. Plan A was getting Ohtani. They really thought they were getting Ohtani. They had no indication that Ohtani did not want to play in New York. None. They thought they were getting him. And what a story that would be. But he went to the Angels, and Cashman pivoted and got Stanton for like 50 cents on the dollar, essentially, or 75 cents on the dollar. He got a guy who hit 59 home runs and won an MVP.
He's currently on pace for 52 home runs right now. And how about RBIs? 162.
No.
Yeah, I think so.
No, he's got 28 home runs. There's 31 games. He's got to get an RBI game to be on pace for that.
He has. Oh, you're right.
Probably
he's
on
one
pace
behind.
For like 145, something like that.
Yeah, I overestimated one. He's played in 29 games, but they've played 30 games, right? He's played 29.
They played 31.
They played 31. Okay, so yes, just under 162. Yeah.
Now the thing that I would caution everybody with, you know, on pace, because he does go into those frustrating slumps, the pace gets thrown off a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to put up numbers, man. Going to put up numbers. And one thing I will tell you, it's not that he doesn't care what fans say. He doesn't get affected
by
it. Doesn't get upset. And another thing, this is a guy, Peter. He's a world traveler. He's a curious guy. He tries to get to every country that he wants to in his life. He travels extensively during the offseason and wants to experience the world. And he's not, though, a guy like so many athletes nowadays who's throwing shade or throwing hosannas at himself on social media. He's not. He'll post, but nothing like what Ben Simmons posted. Did you see that?
I saw Ben Simmons reposted Skip Bayless.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Ben. You didn't do much either. And
it's not like
the Sixers decided to trade you for James Harden. You demanded to leave. Now you're going to throw shade at James Harden. Anyway, we'll get into that later, but you never see Stanton do that. You never see Stanton throwing shade at the fans of the way they treated him. Nope. He just plays baseball. And I think he's rubbed off on Judge, because you don't see Judge, for the most part, throwing shade on social media. He's just not that guy. They go both do their job. That's the vibe around this team. Just do your job. And all the good things that you want to have happen will happen if you win. Ask Derek Jeter how his life has turned out because he won with the Yankees. Pretty good life. He's really impressed me. Even before, like, you've heard me talk about it, Peter. 6 RBIs in one game. You know, it could happen to any player. But this guy's consistently locked in. And, alert, he's a pretty good outfielder, too. You know, it's not like they like hide him in right field and hope that nobody hits a ball to him. He's really a good outfielder. Is he going to win a Gold Glove? No, but when he was at the Marlins and he ran better, he was a really good outfielder, and now he doesn't embarrass himself out there at all. In fact, I think he's a plus defender. So everybody that really had already hardened their opinion on Stanton, they might have to soften just a little bit. This guy could play.
By the way,
his
I think they have.
Play.
I think they have, but Michael, people don't come out and apologize. We
always
talk
I don't expect
about
them to.
Everyone, you know, says a lot, and then things change, and they all jump on board, but they don't go back and say, you know, I was really wrong about that because, oh my God, we heard it from plenty of people. And listen, they can argue a lot of the same people who crushed Gary, they can celebrate and think they got it right, and they have an argument. There's no doubt they have an argument about Gary Sanchez. But in the case of Stanton, you guys were wrong. He's a damn good player.
Well, those are Diamond Notes brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 6 area locations. All right, before we take a break, I want to give you the Mets starting lineup tonight.
Please
against
do.
Seattle. By the way, Seattle at Citi Field, I mean, when those two teams get together, you just throw away the
throw out the record books.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about.
Starting lineup brought to you by Nissan. Here it is. Brandon Nimmo in center field. Starling Marte is in right. Francisco Lindor, the shortstop, hits third. Pete Alonso at first base will clean up. Third baseman is Eduardo Escobar. He'll bat fifth, batting sixth. The left fielder, Mark Canha. Jeff McNeil at second base will bat seventh. Batting eighth, the DH, J.D. Davis, and Tomas Nito will catch and bat ninth. And starting for the Mets, by the way, is Mad Max Scherzer. And Met fans will get a chance to see Jared Kelnick, who is the main piece in the trade. Oh, they just sent him down, so they won't get a chance. Oh, what a kick in the cubes.
Oh, no.
That's awful. So Kelnick has been sent down. He's really had a rough start. That's today's Mets starting lineup brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com. We're waiting on the Yankee lineup. We'll get that to you. We want to talk with you, of course. So come on back. We're going to have a good time today. We'll talk to Henrik Lundqvist at 5. We'll start to bug Andrew at 4. I don't think he's going to answer because you know, when he digs in, Peter, he digs in.
You think he's not going to answer?
I don't think he'll answer. And then he's going to have to answer to us on Monday.
I think he will answer us when we call. I think he doesn't respect the morning show. I think he respects us.
Well, we'll see. I think it's a good thing to try. It's a good social experiment, which I like to do on the show. We'll see. By the way, again, hotter than a cauldron of boiled rats, again, in Chicago today.
I got to say, it's pretty hot in my room right now where I'm doing the show.
Well, who's there?
Just me and the dogs.
Oh. Yeah, it's pretty hot.
It's like, when I was walking around earlier, it was like 75. I mean, not hot relative to Chicago, but God, I'm going to Chicago in June. It could be like the sun.
It could. Surface of the sun weather. What are you going to Chicago in June for?
Hell in a cell. So maybe it'll be hot as hell.
I'll tell you what, I had an outdoor lunch today. What a sightseeing city.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
One guy I really want you to get to know better is my friend and colleague, Jack Curry.
I don't know Jack at all.
Because he is incredibly into music and has long been into hip-hop and rap.
You've told me that.
So he just texted me saying, you know, Kendrick included a song on this album about a trans relative, pretty groundbreaking in the rap world.
Yes, it is. I thought it was a very groundbreaking song. It seems that it is being met with a lot of mixed reviews from the LGBTQ community.
Oh, they don't like it?
It seems mixed. It seems some people like it, but he plays around in some ways with the most derogatory slur for gay people and sort of does a thing where he compares it to the N-word. He's trying to say no one should say either word, right?
Right.
He used the word. So he is catching flack. That's the one thing I'm seeing him catch flack for. But on my first listen, I was like, wow, I have not. Listen, Macklemore made the same love song. That was a nice song. But obviously Macklemore occupies a different space. He's a really poppy artist. He's a white guy. It's a different ballgame. Kendrick diving into this issue I thought was very brave and cool. But listen, I'm not part of the community, so I don't know how they're going to judge it.
All right, so you and Jack have to get together. All right.
Jack, I look forward to it.
Let's go around the bases, brought to you by Nissan. Very quickly, I want to say this. One of the things that impressed me about Stanton, remember that 5-strikeout game that he had a while back and the fans were just booing him off the field?
They call that a chocolate onion.
I didn't realize that. So the press descends on him after the game, and you know what he said? I'd boo me too. Now, contrast that with Julius Randle and how Julius handled what was benign compared to what Stanton was going through. I think it threw Julius's game out of whack. It threw his game out of whack.
Oh, yeah. No, Michael, you're underselling it. It completely changed and maybe ended his tenure here.
That's the difference. Now, one other thing. So a couple of people are sending me a clip from MLB Network where Brian Kenny makes this long, I haven't had a chance to watch all of it, this long, detailed take that Stanton is bad for the Yankees. So I'm not here to comment on Brian Kenny's opinion because I don't know the full thing yet. But think about this, everybody, and Peter, try to grasp this.
Okay.
Other athletes, I mean, some basketball players that we know, if somebody just says the slightest negative thing about them, they just blast them on social media. Stanton won't even acknowledge it. And it's on the network that's on every single and on every single Major League clubhouse. Every Major League clubhouse is on the MLB network. So he'll know about it. It won't even faze him. He won't answer it. He won't send a nasty social media post out to Brian Kenny. That's not him. He's, in a way, he's almost made for New York.
No, that it's a really great point. Listen, we don't know if he ends up going down as an all-time great Yankee. We don't, that story hasn't been written yet. He has a lot of time left. But I think you can say safely, Michael, that his DNA is a guy. He has the Eli Manning.
Yeah.
He
low
has
pulse.
He has that Eli Manning. Low pulse, just kind of whatever it is, good game, bad game. You know, platinum sombrero, three home runs. Either way, he looks kind of the same. I am curious, though, to hear what Brian Kenny said. Maybe we'll get a clip of it. I'm seeing now, it looks like Talking Yank says it was a 2.5-minute spiel about why Stanton might be bad for the Yankees.
Now, I know Brian is heavily into analytics. He was into analytics before it became cool, so he's probably dug up some numbers that will tell you that he doesn't like Stanton.
Analytics
are
still not cool, I would like
but,
to say.
But you have to be around this team and how he reacts to, you know, being a Yankee is different than being on other teams. I'm sorry, it just is. It's got almost a Beatles in 1964 quality to it. And how he handles all that comes with this supersedes whatever numbers that you could slant toward negativity. Again, I haven't heard it yet, so I'm not going to comment on Brian's post. But my guarantee to you is Stanton will not. Stanton doesn't care. Stanton doesn't care if 50,000 people boo him, and he doesn't care if one guy on the MLB network says something negative about him. He doesn't care. Somehow, he just plows right through. That's today's Around the Bases, brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now, get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com. Richard in Manhattan, why don't you start it off today?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Peter. Michael, hello. In all your years of doing Yankee broadcasts, and even before you were a Yankee fan, let's say 20 years before, have you ever seen a player as Stanton is, who was so down in the abyss, not only with the fans, but just by performance and salary and the fact that they couldn't get rid of him, that they were saddled with him. Do you ever remember anybody that came back like he did, ever?
Off the top of my head, I can't recall, Richard. Usually, you know, if a Yankee struggles, I get rid of him or he wants to go, but he didn't want to go. You know, he has a no-trade clause. That's why it's funny. And we thank you for the call. When people would call up and say they got to get rid of him, Well, he didn't want to be getting rid of. He didn't want to be gotten rid of. He wanted to be here. Remember, before the Marlins traded him to the Yankees, he turned down deals to the Giants and the St. Louis Cardinals, two really good places to play. That wasn't for him. I think he would have accepted a deal to the Dodgers. They didn't make a run at him. The Yankees did, and here we are. 26 RBIs in 31 games. Let's go to Frank in New Jersey. Frank.
Hey, Michael. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Quick question. I'm doing great, especially with the Yankees are playing. Quick question and a comment. I was at the game day before yesterday, really impressed by the team. I think they are very they got the eye. I think they're very close to the it factor. They may need a small trade to top it off. I'm thinking maybe – and I don't know how much you like Aaron Hicks, but maybe a Hicks for the center fielder from Pittsburgh. That's my question on your thought on that.
Wait a second. You think that the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to give a Brian Reynolds for Aaron Hicks? Why? You'd have to give them Anthony
Volpe
for Brian Reynolds.
Yeah, you're probably right. You know, you're absolutely right. I'm just thinking I'd like to see them tweak the team a little. I like Aaron Hicks. But I don't know if he can be part of the final puzzle. And
you're cutting out, Frank. Thank you for the phone call. Imagine So Aaron Hicks is not working out here. I think he's 2 for his last 29. He's been injured an awful lot. As I believe, 3, if not 4 years left on a $70 million deal. The Pirates get together, they huddle, and they go, yeah, let's trade them Reynolds. Let's do that. That's a good deal. I mean, come on. Everybody in baseball wants the Pirates center fielder. Everybody. And he's years away from being a free agent. You don't think the Yankees have inquired about him? And the Pirates will all of a sudden make a decision. Yeah, we'll give him to you for Aaron Hicks. You're going to have to start with Volpe or Peraza to get him. Wow. Wow. Ah, boy. Somebody has something negative to say about Peter, so let's go there. Ron in Delaware.
What did I do? Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Now, here's the story. Last night, great Yankee win, great highlights, but the number one highlight, Rizzo's triple, running around the bases saying, Peter, look at me go.
Oh, yeah.
Peter, look at me run. Anyway, you guys have a good day. Take care now.
That's right. It was a stand-up triple, Peter. Stand-up triple.
What did he hit? He must have hit it. Was it an outside-the-park triple? I've never heard of that.
Wow. It was a hard shot inside first into the right field corner.
Slow roll?
No. It was a weird carom, though, for the outfield.
I knew there was a carom. As I
was watching him, run around the bases, I kept thinking, gazelle.
That's not true. Yeah. I'm going to go watch right now.
Oh, you'll be impressed.
Was in all seriousness, was he actually moving fast in your opinion?
Yes, he was.
Maybe I was. Listen, I could be wrong.
No, they watched it. I say it's the MLB Network's on and every. This is on in the 8 clubhouse. Sometimes I don't get spoken to.
What inning was it again?
I have it right here. So why should I even guess? I have it right here, my friend. Triple by Rizzo is in the third inning. Yankees 3-run third inning. It drove in Aaron Judge from first, and then
all right.
Following that, it was Stanton's 2-run home run, second 2-run home run.
Oh, that was the day number 2. I saw the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw the carom. Here we go.
Now watch him just like he's floating. Beautiful, am I right?
Listen, it's a beautiful hit. I'm not seeing him. They're not showing him run, sadly.
No, that's sad.
Yeah.
I'll try to get you an ISO replay, all right? I'll send it to you.
Please do.
1-800-919-3776. Take more of your phone calls. And at 4 o'clock, we're going to annoy Andrew the day of his sister's wedding. Which I think is really, really, I mean, we're bothering a guy on a family day that will be a day for forever just for entertainment purposes. So it tells you how the two of us think
and
how little we care.
We have to.
It's almost a must. And by the way, before we talk to Henrik Lundqvist, I want all of you to take out your weekly readers and take a look at the 3 incredible games that he had on Friday the 13th. Were they all Friday the 13th?
No, they were all May 13th.
All just May 13th.
May 13th. Okay.
Yeah.
So this has been a big day for Henrik, the king.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Andrew Gunling, our excellent producer, is a native of Philadelphia. Loves the Eagles, loves the Phillies, loves the Flyers, and loves the Sixers. So the Sixers rolling over and playing dead yesterday probably really hurt him.
I mean, bad.
James Harden's performance probably hurt him. The fact that the Sixers have come out and said that Doc Rivers is, in fact, coming back as the coach of the team probably angered him as well. So, because, as you know from listening to the show, we're not good people. Andrew has 2 days off, yesterday and today, to be at his sister's wedding. And he gave a speech yesterday at the rehearsal dinner, which I heard went on and on and on, never ended. And now he's getting ready for the actual wedding. It's a Friday wedding, and Peter astutely pointed out yesterday that obviously they're going for the cheap take. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, Fridays are much less expensive than Saturdays. Right, Pete?
I hate to say it. even though I already did. But the fact of the matter is, the Friday wedding is Friday or Sunday is cheaper. I mean, Friday or Sunday is cheaper than Saturday. Correct.
Right. Wednesday afternoon is very inexpensive if you want to go that route.
Right.
But
you can
anyway,
just do a Tuesday morning. Sure.
Tuesday morning, you could get like almost on the arm because I like to practice their food. Anyway, we want to bother Andrew live on the air. And I promise you, both Peter and I promise you, and Anthony Pusick promises you, we have not tipped him off that we're going to do this. So there's a good chance he's going to be very angry. So, Anthony, have you worked out the technology to do this?
Oh, yeah. If you guys are ready, I can try and give him a call right now.
All right, let's do it.
Just when it starts ringing, pot it up. Now, Michael, what are you going to say here? Hey, Andrew, we have to talk to you about something very important. And
yeah.
then when he says, what is it, say...
Mm-hmm.
Why
How about the
so,
Sixers?
Yeah, why? Oh my God, that's even worse.
Yeah,
this is very Rothenberg of you.
Yeah.
Here we go.
All right, you guys should just probably do something else while I work out some technical issues.
Okay. Oh, what a hack! He said he was able to do it.
Well, but then he tried, and apparently he failed.
Well, that's not acceptable.
Listen, worst case scenario. I actually can make this work. I have a second mic that's hooked up to my Comrex,
right.
And I could put the phone on speaker right up to that microphone, so I could still be on mic and you and we could hear him.
Here we go.
Shh, 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 everyone. Shh.
Not looking good. So it's on because it's not going right to voicemail.
Oh, it's definitely on, of course.
Hi, you've reached the voicemail.
You don't have to take it off. He doesn't say
no, no, we want to leave a message.
If you leave your name, number, and a quick message, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks a lot, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Andrew, it's Michael and Peter.
Hey, Andrew.
Really important. We need to talk to you. I know it's an inconvenient day with your sister getting married, but just give us a buzz if you can, okay? It's 4:07 and 50 seconds on the east coast of...
Just call the studio. We just got to talk through one thing.
Yeah, we need to talk to you about something. So if you could do that, that'd be great. Thanks so much, buddy. Bye.
Boom. Perfect.
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 Now you think he checks the message?
He has
because
to.
Because, I mean, there's no way his sister's getting married at 4:08. I mean, they really got the cheap plan then if he does that. Got to be a nighttime wedding.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's a... 6 o'clock wedding? 7 o'clock wedding. You got to give people time to get like there after work, right?
Right. Friday, people work. That's why you're not paying much for the wedding.
I didn't say not paying much. I think it's just a slightly better, right? Now, the first time I got married, I had a brilliant plan. Huh? Ready, Michael?
Okay.
You want to save a little money.
Right.
But you want to have it on a day where people cannot have to deal with any work nonsense.
Okay.
So what did I do?
You want to save a little money. You did Sunday.
What Sunday?
Super Bowl Sunday?
No, because people would work the next day. I did Labor Day Sunday.
Oh.
So you get the Sunday rate, but Monday people are off work. So you're not asking people to miss work. Listen, if they had major Labor Day plans, well, then I suppose that's annoying. But you could do this with Memorial Day. You could do it with Labor Day. Now, of course, you got to be careful with the station, Michael, because with our job, they don't really observe 3-day weekend.
Yeah, by the way, let's bring this on the air. Are we off Memorial Day or not?
You know, it's funny you say that. I am off.
What do you mean you're off?
You know what? I don't know.
I rented a house with a few of my friends in Sag Harbor.
Justin?
I'm, Taking a few to Judson is one of them.
Really? He's coming in from California. For
hold
this.
On. Listen to
Ballard.
Listen to the name collection I have. It's
I'll tell you each one that sickens me. Go.
Judson.
Sickening.
Chauncey.
Ultra sickening.
Allison.
Nice.
Natalie.
You know how I feel about the Natster.
So, but yeah, we have like a little reunion we're doing, a little trip.
Who collects people, friends with names that seem like they're on Party of Five? What are you doing? Judson and Chauncey. Eliminate them.
I love them. They're some of my closest friends.
Oh, please. And Packer Boy's not coming?
No.
You don't want him there, right?
Mm. It's just not. This is like a different crew. This is my high school. Those are all high school friends, except
really?
Natalie. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I kept my friends. You know, you probably got too big to talk to your friends from high school.
I know some of them, but my friends are from college. It's just one year later, all my friends are from college. You probably didn't know anybody in Maryland.
By the way, did you see this text from your dear friend, Rick DiPietro?
No.
Oh. Rick texted Anthony, not you, not right. me. He right. texted Anthony and said, "You are hacks for stealing this bit."
Wow.
What do you say to your friend Rick DiPietro now, Michael? He called you a hack, as if he's the first person to call someone on the air to give him a hard time.
Yeah, I think Stern's done that for a long time.
Well, and also, first of all, who's the hack? You're calling our producer. His whole gimmick is on our show.
And also, I mean, you know how I feel about Rick. You stole one of our producers to produce your show.
That's right. Oh, by the way, didn't Rick also steal ENN?
Yeah. What they call it, Florida or nothing?
No. Anthony, what's the fake ENN?
Fake Observations? And did it happen in Florida? That's what they do now. But I don't think that's an ENN stealing.
No, no. You know what? I take it back. I'm sorry. Han ripped off ENN.
Oh, listen, you mean audio files?
Audio files. Yeah.
It's
Han
the greatest form of Flaherty, or John Flaherty.
It's the greatest form of Flaherty. John Flaherty.
Yeah. The mouth's not working today. It's really not. Anyway, let's talk a little about the Sixers. We're not going to go heavy into it, but you know, Harden just didn't show up. He had two shots in the second half of an elimination game, and I don't want to be Daryl Morey right now, the GM that traded for him. Because, you know, there was a kind of an unspoken agreement, maybe even spoken, that they were going to give him the max extension. You got to be crazy. This guy doesn't look like the same player to give him a max extension. And, boy, the Nets almost look prescient to get rid of him when they did. Now, they got a player who might not ever play for them. But you're not in a position where you had to give. If Harden wanted the max extension with the Nets, they would have given it to him. But he said he didn't want to do it. Now, Harden made a mistake because he could have signed the deal when he got traded to the Sixers and they forgot to file the paperwork or something like that. Harden always has stuff like this happen to him. Now, you could say he's getting older, but, Peter, you look in the finals when he had games, elimination games. He doesn't show up. I don't get it. And then his excuse yesterday, you know, that the ball just didn't come to me. And then you go out and get the ball. You go out and get the ball. That's why they have you on the team, to score in big moments. And he just completely shuts it down. The Nets might have dodged a bullet getting rid of this guy. Now, the guy they got for him, I don't know what to expect from Ben Simmons. He won't take a shot in the fourth quarter because he doesn't want to get fouled, but
won't take
this
a shot.
Was awful.
He won't play a game. He went from – he used to not take shots, Michael. Now he doesn't play in basketball games.
Well, I mean, okay. How different is it than what Harden did yesterday? Was that playing in a basketball game?
Barely. Do you see
this? I mean, what an embarrassment. How does this guy, like – I mean, the word around the NBA is he's not in shape. He doesn't have a commitment to greatness. I mean, you look at the commitment that a guy like Kobe Bryant had to greatness, and then you see this guy out clubbing and making it rain and stuff like that. What's his commitment? You got to be in shape. The longer a player can be great, the better shape they're in. If you're not in shape, that's why I look at Stanton and go, you know what? Maybe he's going to be better older because the guy's in tremendous shape. Never lets himself get out of shape. If you let yourself get out of shape and you've let your natural gifts carry you and not conditioning, well, at some point your body's going to give out. And we've seen it over the last couple of years with Harden with his hamstring. I mean, Peter, that performance last night was abominable. I think he's 1-7 in elimination games, isn't he?
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, I was just looking at this other story, Michael. Speaking of all the different, the trifecta of Nets disasters of recent, Nike unlikely to extend Kyrie Irving's deal. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I saw that.
He's dropping. He's dropping a new sneaker in the fall. By the way, I love Kyrie's shoes. I actually have.
There's some of his Nike's biggest sellers too. For them to do this.
I have these very rare, the Kyrie Irving Pepsis. I love these. I think his sneakers are awesome. But they said, we don't comment on contracts or rumors or speculation. Kyrie remains a Nike athlete. But the speculation exists, and the word is they're going to pull out. This, of course, comes after Kyrie described a recent design as trash on social media. And said, I have nothing to do with the designer marketing.
Yeah, that's a good way to upset Nike. Kyrie seems like he wants to get in trouble. He wants to push the envelope. Good for him if he can. But at some point, when your skills erode and you can't get on the court, you know, sooner or later, this company is going to say, okay, take a walk. I don't know if there's going to be an Uncle Drew too.
You're not holding your breath?
I really waited for it. But you know sequels, they don't. Don's COVID sequel is not as interesting but Don's first.
Don's COVID 2, I really hope, is not as good as the original.
Or as strong.
That's what I mean. I want it to be a much weaker follow-up.
Not good. All right, let's go to the phones, and then at the end of this segment, we'll call Andrew again. Let's go to Spike in St. Petersburg. Spike?
Hey, boys, I hope Don feels better. It's really upsetting that he misses the Ranger games, but most important, let him get well. By the way, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Ben Simmons, I told you this 30 games ago or 30, 60 days ago. I wouldn't want to be any of their teammates. Harden spit the bit, as George would say. He didn't even try last night. The fact that he can't get around anybody. And I felt bad for Embiid. I really did, because he busted his ass, and he tried. And it's just very sad. I'm staying with the Bucks, Michael. We talked about this the last month or two, you and I, and I'm staying with the Bucks because there's something about Giannis. I'm not going to the last name. Something about Giannis that's special. And Marcus Smart, Peter, I know you got the song. That's a bad game, man.
Only is it a bad game, I agree. Not only the bad game. Can I say, Spike? Why did he take that last shot?
Yeah, why was it designed for him?
You've got to find Tatum.
You have to get your best player has to get the ball, and if you can't get Tatum,
absolutely.
You get Brown. And Marcus is a good scorer. He's a good scorer, but he's not that guy.
Yeah, we used to kid about Bellamy, and they got the Busher. That was the linchpin when I was growing up. And Drew Holiday is definitely the guy here, even though Giannis is the best player in the league, unequivocally. His spirit, his attitude, and again, he just busts his tail. They left him open. He's a 27% three-point shooter, and he nails it. That's a sign of greatness. I really like them, and you got to get the ball to Tatum. It's as simple as that.
Well, we thank you for the phone call. Have a great weekend, because we have a special caller right now. And it's Andrew Gunling actually calling back. Andrew.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're sorry to bother you on the day of your sister's wedding, but we just wanted to ask you, how about those Sixers, huh?
Yeah. Tough loss. I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to say.
Are you angry?
It was ugly. Yeah, I mean, it was hugely disappointing that they can't get past the second round. But, I mean, they fell into a 2-0 hole. Embiid is clearly not himself. Harden is not what he was. I mean, I guess I wasn't shocked by it when it happened last night. But, yeah, bummed. Definitely bummed.
How did you handle last night, Andrew, with the rehearsal dinner? Did you miss important moments because you were watching that trash?
I missed the entire thing, all of it.
What, the wedding? The rehearsal dinner or the game?
The rehearsal dinner. No. I didn't miss the rehearsal dinner.
You didn't pull a Rothenberg. Okay.
I missed the entire game. I was relying on text messages and all of that to kind of get a clue as to what was going on. And so I feel bad.
I got to tell you, you're very lucky.
I feel like as a fan, I feel like that's not right that I missed out on this experience that the rest of Sixers fans had to endure. I feel like I should have been a part of that pain. But I'm also kind of thrilled that I missed it because it sounds like it was absolutely brutal.
It was. And how do you feel about Michael wanting to call you moments? What time is your sister getting married?
Let's see. The ceremony starts at 5:30. We have a rehearsal at 4:30, so about 10 minutes from now.
An hour from the wedding. And Michael wanted to call you just to say, how about them Sixers?
How do I feel about them? I mean, look, you could always make the call whether or not if I'm free. Yeah, I'll talk about the Sixers anytime you want. I wouldn't have called back.
What would you feel about them signing Harden to the max contract?
Can't do it. If he opts in, then so be it. I mean, it's in his court. But if Daryl Morey wants to sign him to the max deal, I would almost say they'd have to fire Daryl Morey to prevent him from doing that.
Now, you also heard while you're taking pictures that they announced that Doc is coming back. Happy or not?
I didn't hear that, and I'm stunned by it.
Yep.
Wow, I'm almost surprised that Doc wants to come back. All right, I mean, happy about it? No, not really. But I don't know who it would have been instead of him, so I guess whatever. I don't know. I feel like unless Tyrese Maxey turns out to be a perennial All-Star, which is possible, unless that happens, they're kind of in a bad spot moving forward. So I don't really know where they go from here.
All right. So here's the key, Andrew. How did the speech go at the rehearsal dinner?
It was a huge hit. 4.5 minutes. I felt like that kind of split the difference between Michael's 30-second speech and Peter's 7-minute speech. Perfect. I was really happy with it. The response to it was rave reviews. I felt really good about it, and so I think I nailed it, honestly.
And I guess this makes sense. You spoke at the rehearsal dinner because tonight the maid of honor and the best man will speak.
Right. That's right.
Good for you, Andrew. I knew you'd find your way, and the fact that you were able to. Around what time did you speak?
Last night?
Yeah.
Probably, I don't know, 9 o'clock.
That's right around the time James Harden took his last shot. You were focused on your speech. Look at you.
Two second half shots. What do you even say about that?
What do you say?
It's only two more than Simmons had.
Well, Simmons had, I think, 0 shots for games 4, 5, 6, and 7. At least Harden managed 2 in game 6.
Silver lining. Anyway, have a great time at the wedding, Andrew. Thank you for calling us back, and it makes us feel better because they tried to get you on the morning show today, and you didn't call them back. That makes me happy.
Well, they called me at 7:52, so they gave me only like a 5-minute window. And by the time I looked at my phone and saw the missed call, their show was over. So I would have talked to them, too. But, yeah, I missed it.
Yeah, this is better.
All right. Well, thanks,
guys.
Have
a great time. Send our love to the entire Gunling clan and your in-laws, whatever their name's going to be.
I certainly will. Appreciate it.
All right, bye. It's the great Andrew Gunling.
Got to tell you, he's
out of breath.
He's such a quality guy that
really
he actually ruined the bit.
Right. He should have been angry he was angry at the Sixers, but not at us.
No, you thought he'd be annoyed at least with us. Nothing. No. He was just like, I'm happy to talk about the Sixers. Thank you for calling and asking.
Yeah. He's got to be let go. 1-800-919-3776. We'll talk more. We got the Rangers, Penguins game 6, must win for the Rangers, and Henrik Lundqvist will join us at 5 o'clock to break it down for the people. And you'll hear that game right here on 98.7. 6:30 is the pregame show, 7 o'clock the puck drop. Ed Cohen will be doing play-by-play, moving in for Don LaGreca, who is battling COVID for the second time in what, about 3 days, Peter?
No, it's about 3 months.
No. It's much more recent than 3 months. More recent.
2 months?
I think it could be more recent than that.
You think? Anthony, what do you think?
It's not 3 months.
I was on the phone. What did we...
When do you think Don had COVID the first time? How long ago?
That was in February, I think, because it was after me.
You sure it was end of February?
Middle of February.
See.
It's about 2.5 months then.
Yeah.
So I'm right. Thank you.
Well, I think he's patient zero. They're going to want to examine him because not many people get it that quickly.
It is a little troubling, but God willing, he will be all right.
God willing, and sounds like it's willing. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think that I have bought a physical newspaper in maybe 3 years. So I get the Post every day. I pay for that. I pay for the subscription. It goes to my iPad. So I landed it at O'Hare yesterday, and I wanted to, I didn't know if I'd get back to the hotel in time to connect to the internet. So I bought a Chicago Tribune paper. Now, you know how I love newspapers, right?
You're a big fan.
So this newspaper was like as thin as like some Saturday papers that you would get. So I bought it at the equivalent in O'Hare of a Hudson News.
Okay.
$2.67. Now, listen. You're trying to survive as an industry, and you're going to charge $2.67 for a paper that has nothing in it? Who's buying it? Who's buying that other than a moron like me?
Wait, and which paper was it?
The Chicago Trib.
Has nothing in it.
I mean, it's a thin... I mean, used to come to Chicago, and you could hardly lift even a daily Chicago Tribune. Forget about Sunday was, you know... I mean, you could do curls with it. But this was so thin and so insignificant. But even if it was thick, $2.67, I think the Post is what, $1?
Oof.
I'll tell you, it's an industry that's not going to survive. I hate to say it, but if you're charging that kind of money for a physical newspaper, there's nobody in their right mind that's going to buy it. No one.
Listen, there are a few papers that figured out how to continue to make money. And most have not.
The Times seems to have done it.
How's the Chicago Sun-Times?
It was not. I don't even know. I hate to say it. I don't even know if it exists anymore. It wasn't at any of the stores here. They used to have, like, newspaper boxes on the... By the way, the streets of Chicago are pretty tough. All the Chicago people are telling me, don't walk around. I said, even in the neighborhood, even in the afternoon, they said, it's really rough.
That's L.A. That's some in New York, too.
Yeah. Hey, let me tell you about the Smashing Pumpkins. They're coming to UBS Arena on Friday, October 14th, and Madison Square Garden on Wednesday, October 19th. Boy, I'd like to hang with them on the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th, Peter. Think about it. The fun they're having in New York.
The Pumps?
Oh, Michael and the Pumps. It could be like a game show. Anyway, be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN. To score a pair of tickets to the venue of your choice. Which one would you choose, Peter? UBS or the Garden?
My choice would be the Garden.
All right. And it's all from Live Nation. Tickets are on sale right now at LiveNation.com. Oh, let's go to Joe in Joe in Long Island. Hello, Joe. Jojo. Hello, how you doing?
Hello.
Yeah.
Good. Just driving home from work, listening to you guys. I enjoy listening to you guys, so thank you.
Thank you.
For that. But, you know, I'm really here to tell Michael K., you know, we didn't forget about him jinxing the Cortez no-hitter.
Yeah.
Please, don't jinx him tonight, Michael K.
Well, Joe, it's going to continue to happen. I love the fact that you listen. I will continue to annoy you. I have a job to do. I will continue to say when somebody's pitching a no-hitter. The absolute infantilism of people thinking that my voice can impact what's happening on the field is actually scary that you people are out there. How did I not jinx Cone and Wells' perfect games? How? Gooden's no-hitter. How did I not do that? Kluber's no-hitter. How? How did I fail? I think he was just trying to get my goat, but I'm in too good of a mood today. Let's go to North Carolina.
Friday, Michael, for God's sake.
What was
sake.
That? It's Friday. Jerry in North Carolina.
Jerry?
Hey.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
Great. I enjoy the show. Miss Don, of course. But my beef is, I know, Michael, you like Booney, but he is I think anybody could coach that ball team sitting from the couch, you know?
You think anybody can manage this team?
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What do you think?
So then why not Aaron Boone? Why don't you want Aaron Boone then?
Well, look at the bonehead mistake you made the other night, bringing in Lou Eisen. And
that's a bonehead move?
I think it was. They beat his brains out.
Well, but how would anybody know? He's one of the best relief pitchers in baseball. So just Mariano Rivera blew saves too, Jerry.
Well, not like Lou Eisen and Chad Green. Come on.
Well, Chad Green pitched two shutout innings yesterday.
Yeah, well, he was due. So,
Jerry, this is the way you're thinking, right? So you're going to use any narrative you want to try to paint Aaron Boone into an inept box. So I can't help you, sir. You don't like Aaron Boone. Live with him because he's going to be here for the next 3 or 4 years at least. He just signed a 4-year deal. So I wonder if they had Casey Stengel or, well, let's say Joe Torre as a manager, how much better their record would be than 23-8. I wonder. First of all, you disparage a guy. You don't even know his name is Loizaga. He had the highest WAR of 3.2 of any relief pitcher in baseball last year, and you're going to disparage the manager for bringing him in. That almost got me. Let's go to Brian in Patterson. Brian.
How's it going, Michael and Peter?
Great. How are you?
Hopefully Don's feeling better. I'm good. Peter, just want to acknowledge a big WWE fan, a big 90s rap fan. You do a great job
with
the pre-shows.
Oh, thanks, dude.
You got
it. Appreciate that.
No problem. When the lineup comes out daily, there's one name I look for as far as the Yankees go, and it's Aaron Hicks. At what point, I know he makes a lot of money, his on-base percentage, I could care less about. He doesn't come up big in big situations. What are we doing here? Like, they see the same thing we're seeing. At what point?
But Brian, what's your option right now?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. What can we do?
The only thing you could do is make Aaron Judge the center fielder, and I think that you're pushing the envelope with him, having him play in center field where you have to cover a lot of ground. Cameron Maben said that he used to play a lot of center field, and at the end of games, he was exhausted. And then he played corner outfield, and it was like a day at the beach. So Judge is very good in center, but do you really want to risk that? And also, Brian, you say you don't care about on-base percentage. I mean, there have to be people on to be driven in. He's in the top 10 in the American League.
He's not timely. Yeah, I mean, he'll get a big hit, not even a big hit, but hit in the eighth inning when the score is, you know, out of reach, and it doesn't even matter at that point.
Listen, I can't argue with him. He's been terrible. He's been terrible this year. He's bad with runners in scoring position. He's historically bad with the bases loaded. He's, I think, 2 for his last 29. He hasn't played well. He hasn't played well, but, you know, what do? We don't do anything because they're still winning. So it's not impacting winning. You don't have to go out and get Wilson Contreras from the Cubs now because Trevino and Higashioka are not hitting because it's all working. When it starts to not work, then you have to pull some strings. But everybody keeps saying he makes a lot of money. He doesn't make a lot of money. He makes $10 million a year. It's not a lot of money in baseball right now. Yeah, I know he gets $70 million for 7 years. We'd all love to make that money. But he's not making $36 million like today's starter, Gerrit Cole. It's $10 million. By the way, did you see the story, Peter? That I forget who reported it first. So Brett Gardner obviously still wants to play. And the Blue Jays, right after the lockout ended, offered Brett Gardner $6 million to play this year.
Okay.
And then there was another team that offered him a similar amount of money, not sure which one. And he turned it down. He only wants to play for the Yankees. Talk about loyalty. And it doesn't look like there's going to be a spot for him on the Yankees. Now, unless he has some kind of wink-wink agreement, first time somebody gets hurt, you know, we'll sign you. I don't see that happening. But he turned down $6 million to play with the Blue Jays. He can't see himself in another uniform other than the Yankees.
I mean, it's almost like, it's almost so great. It's almost like, are you all right, pal?
He loves it here. It's all he's known.
Wow. That I got to tell you, I get it. You know what? I feel bad I ever called him a tryhard.
You should apologize to him in person. Why don't we, on a mutual off day, fly down to South Carolina, and you can knock on the door and say, I'm sorry. Sorry I said what I said.
I'll consider it.
All right, good. Hicks, by the way, this year is 2-for-19 with runners in scoring position. And yesterday, he was 0-for-5.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And that makes him, 2-for-30. And he's 0-for-19. Listen, he struggled. But also remember one thing. Hasn't played a lot. So there's some rust there as well. Now, maybe, you know, hoping against hope, but he has not played well. I can't sit here and put lipstick on a pig. He hasn't played well. But you're not forced into making a decision because the team continues to win at a really alarmingly high rate.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
7 of Giancarlo Stanton's 9 home runs this year have tied the game or given the Yankees a lead.
How many?
7 of the 9.
Wow. So you're saying he's clutch?
No, I was actually, that was for an audience of 1 in New Jersey.
Brian, I hope they lose.
I was hoping Brian Kenny heard it. Did you hear the latest news? This just came out. This is kind of stunning. You wonder what's going on, right?
Huh.
Phil Mickelson has withdrawn from the PGA Championship.
Yeah, I just put that in for ENN.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, does this mean a lot of people think that this could have a Jordan-esque quality to it. A lot of people think that when Jordan left to play baseball, he was kind of quasi-pushed by David Stern. It's never been proven. But you wonder, has the PGA Tour said, because your comments, you can't play, but we won't call it a suspension. Or does he want the money that badly from the other tour that he's willing to give it all up in the PGA? Because at his age now, his chances of winning these events are coming down to almost nothing. And when you're giving up the Masters and now the PGA Championship, which I believe he'd be defending, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really? You're going to give up these opportunities, these waning opportunities? There's got to be something we don't know. Got to be.
Yeah, what if he made a deal with the Saudis and part of that was that he would not then continue to do anything with the PGA?
What does Bear think?
Who cares? Shut up. Just you go ahead and talk for a second.
Wow. Have you ever heard him that angry, Anthony? Wow.
That was a lot. Baron Rocky clearly had felt a way about Phil.
Right.
Maybe he's in on it. Maybe Bear has something to do with it. Rocky's in on it, too. There was a lot going on there.
So Rocky's brokering a deal with the Saudis through Bear.
I think it's on the table. It can't be ruled out.
Wow. All right, while Peter is tending to his pup, Deshaun in Connecticut. Deshaun?
Hi, Mike and Peter.
How you doing?
All right. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Wonderful. Yes, I wanted to make 2 quick points about Aaron Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What about Florio if Hicks doesn't get better?
Well, I mean, if you're going to bring Florial up to play center field every day, then Hicks can't really be on the team. So they're locked into Hicks for 3 or 4 more years, so they're going to exhaust every opportunity. And unfortunately for Esteban Florial, he has not shown the ability to hit at this level yet. He's playing very well at AAA right now, but every chance he's had up here, and they've been very small chances, he has not been able to, string hits together and open some eyes. So I don't know if they give up on Hicks that it would be Florial they would turn to. Maybe they look to make a deal. Jim in Connecticut, Jim? Jim? James? Jimbo? Jimmy? Gone. Let's go to David in New Jersey. David?
Hey, Michael, how's it going? Huge fan.
Thanks.
I just wanted to ask, my dad's going to freak out when I tell him I got through to you, but neither here nor there. I just wanted to ask you, I just wanted to ask about what your thoughts on last night, the move that Boone made pinch hitting Torres for Higashioka. I know, obviously, Higgy's been struggling this season, but, you know, he strung together a couple of hits last night, you know, maybe starting to find himself a little there. And that one move essentially takes away two-thirds of the bench because that brings in Trevino behind the plate and obviously Torres. And, you know, eighth inning tie game, possibility to go to extras with two outs. I'm just wondering if I'm the only one that thought that maybe that wasn't the right move. Obviously, you know, it didn't really matter, but.
Well, it did matter. David, I mean, it's hard to.
Absolutely. He drew a huge walk and that.
Right. So, I mean.
I'm just saying, like, it didn't come back around to bite them. That's what I meant by that.
Well, I mean, at the time, you know, whichever way you look at it, David, I mean, Gleyber is 10 times the hitter that Higashioka is. So
at
that point, you send him up to pinch hit. And that, I mean, his at bat that he had was a great at bat. He worked a walk, and then that led to LeMahieu's walk, and that led to Judge with the infield single. But also, he had great base running. So, yeah, you can't be critical of
him.
Unbelievable, you know, and we thank you for the call. It worked out perfectly. Worked out perfectly, yeah, and it does empty the bench, but you can't worry about what's left on your bench because there might not be extra innings if you don't score there. So the only thing I questioned at the time that Higashioka's not been hitting, and he had two good at-bats and picked up two hits, but he's still a guy who's hitting under 200, and Gleyber has, you know, he didn't even start yesterday coming off a game where he had five RBIs, so... I can't question that, David. I guess I understand, but, boy, the way it worked out, it looks like a stroke of genius. Let's go to Sam in Brooklyn. Sam?
Hey, guys. I definitely wish Don was there so he can hear this because, Michael, I've given you some grief in the past about not talking hockey enough, but I tell you, just, you know, you stepped it up. The show stepped it up, and that was a great interview you guys just had with Lundqvist.
Thank you.
So,
see, Don agrees.
I have a question. I have a question about Lindor. He's batting 233. Do we have a 10-year Lindor problem? I don't know what he's talking about it because they're winning, but he's struggling yet again.
But Sam, they're winning. And we thank you for the call. And he got off to a great start. So it's given him some maneuverability to get over a slump and still be hitting 238. Now, if he's a 210 hitter, then you have a Lindor problem for 10 years. You do. Then, you know, one of the problems last year was he was not able to hit a pitch with hair on it. He couldn't really hit a good fastball. But the beginning of the year, he was certainly doing that. I think that opposing teams have caught on and they're pitching him differently. And now he's going to adjust. But 238, I'm going to tell you something, Sam. The Major League Baseball batting average, I believe, is 234. So he's an above-average hitter. So I wouldn't look at this and say he's a problem right now. Yeah, he's not hitting at this moment, but he's fielding. Buck keeps putting him right in the middle of the order. I don't think he's an issue at all at this point. I mean, you got to let this contract breathe. This is the first year of a 10-year deal. And I tell you what, it's hard to criticize slumping players when they're on teams that win. They're not impacting the team and making them lose. So I don't think I would do that. Anthony in Albany. Anthony.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Crazy question. Do you think the Yankees would ever consider putting IKF behind the plate and bringing Volpe up?
Well, Volpe hasn't played that great at Double-A, and there's a shortstop ahead of him, Anthony. We thank you for the call. It's Peraza. He's at Triple-A. So I don't think they look at IKF as the catcher of the future. So and Volpe's not near ready. He's hitting 167 right now, so why would you call up Anthony Volpe? I mean, this guy has to have time to sprout, time to grow. And he's only, you know, this is essentially his second year of pro ball. So why would you upset the apple cart when the Yankees have the best catching duo or tandem in baseball defensively? The lack of offense from those two have certainly not hurt the team at all. IKF, other than the game at the stadium when he had the two errors, has been unerring at shortstop. I don't even get why you'd think that. Why you call up a guy who's hitting 167 at Double A and move a guy behind the plate who hasn't caught for a couple of years? I don't know.
What can you do, Michael?
And Peraza's hitting 206, so. Let's go to Colleen in Rockland. Colleen.
Colleen.
Hi. How are you? How are you doing?
Good. How you guys? How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good.
I was
up?
Just wanted to talk about Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can I just try TV again, please?
Sure. Take your time.
What is that?
No, it's please.
Okay. About Aaron Judge, because they were saying, you know, because he wasn't hitting the ball and they were concerned about him not getting what he wanted to get. I think he's going to get what he's going to get.
Well, I mean, he certainly, Colin, we thank you for the call. He certainly has been hitting the ball. There's never been a point where, I think he had three games at the beginning of the season where he didn't get off to a great start. Hey, here's the bottom line, everybody. He hits, he plays 150 games, he's getting paid. He's either going to get paid from the Yankees or for somebody else. Don't worry about Aaron Judge. We will not be holding a telethon for him.
No.
If he puts up the numbers that he's putting up now, he's going to get more money than he even wanted from the Yankees. Now, whether he gets it from the Yankees or another team, I'm not worried about Aaron Judge and his future.
You can be worried about the fans. You might be disappointed and sad because he could be gone, but I wouldn't be worried about Aaron Judge.
How did you settle things with Bear? I never heard you that upset.
Who cares?
Shut up! Oh.
Listen to that. PETA just called.
No, I... Listen, Bear and I have our moments. We're very close. We're best friends. So there are moments when it's not great. Well, that's what relationships are. But I love him more than anything.
Brandon Cuddy of NJ.com just tweeted out that the Yankees have paused Ben Rortvedt's rehab assignment as he deals with a new knee issue. So he'd been out with an oblique issue and now a knee issue. Boy, the Yankees are very fortunate they were able to make that deal for Jose Trevino. Really fortunate. Because Trevino's been great behind the plate. 1-800-919-3776. What do we have here? Are we giving away? Giving away jet tickets a little bit later on, so stay tuned for that. We have a big ENN. Only a 3.5-hour show today because of the Rangers pregame show. That's good.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.